Blog Talk Radio.
Do you understand this song? I think
I saw her on what was I watching? She was on the old MTV Unplugged. She kind of explained it. $360, $3.69. You know,
mm-hmm.
360, 360 degrees. Mm-hmm. So, you know, saying she's complete.
When she was born. Yeah. It's playing. It should have been weird for a headphone. That's a mic.
I thought it had to be on the auto clip. Do you play?
Let's go figure out in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all ready?
I guess I'm going to be.
Oh, it's Nick. Come on. Sorry about the music.
Good evening. We're coming to you again with Thoughts from a Brother. How is everybody doing out there in radio world? Today, our topic, main topic will be, we stated earlier that the main topic would be double standards, men versus women. We're going to continue with that, but we realize it's February, and we haven't even mentioned anything about Black History Month. So we want to speak on that a little bit, too. And, of course, as always, we're open to anything audience has to bring, any topics you want to talk about. We're open to talking about them. So with that being said, I guess we'll kick this show off, boys. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
With the men versus women double standards, we see this all the time. I think we were at the end of last week's show, and we were watching SportsCenter, and all of a sudden, the guy, Smart, from Missouri, the linebacker, decided he was going to come out by his sexuality. And we was kind of, I guess, taken back a little bit about how much attention was being paid on him coming out and what was the big deal. And looking at that, we've seen it from the standpoint, women come out all the time in the WNBA, some of the greatest players. Cheryl Swoop, I think, came out. A couple more came out. Cheryl Swoops one come to mind right now. Came out, and it wasn't a big deal about it. You know, so it's a double standard there. And I guess just to open up, you know, to talk ways, we're pretty much going to trying to figure out why is that double standard there. Like in sports, you know, why is it a big deal if a man come out and it's no big deal if the women come out? Why, you know, that double standard put in place?
I'm thinking women have been coming out for a long time. Didn't the dream team, the tennis player, didn't come out years ago, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, we're almost used to that. I mean, I can almost, even though some sort of still a big deal. So I think that is just that. It's a double standard that we have always accepted, you know. I know we try to make it a family-oriented show, at the same time, I got to keep my mind. That double standard is there. you know, a woman can be, you know, she can come out today and then go right back in the closet tomorrow, and she's still a woman, you know. For men, it, come out, you out.
Yeah. You can't go back.
You can't go back.
You can't go back.
Don't go back. Once that door has been open, it is open. So, not just a double standard there in itself. Why do double standards exist?
Yeah.
My question.
That's the same question that we was talking about before the show. Like, well, who came up with this concept that it's wrong for men to say they're homosexual, but it's okay for women to say they homosexual, we accept that. And we took it a little deeper because we were talking about as far as like homosexuality in the church and how it seems like they're condemned, but a murderer can be forgiven and taken back into the church. But and you brought up a great point. You want to elaborate on that, Corey?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the church part, the church aspect, it's much easier for us to accept what we can see ourselves as acceptable to. What I mean is, if I can see myself, okay, what's some of the things that you can say better?
Yeah.
The first thing you think when you give a person like gender, we know that, we don't know the situation, we don't know their mindset, we don't know. There's a lot of unknowns. And we're quick to forgive it, and it's not. It's just there are some things that we're quick to forgive because we're looking at other things like they're coming back. And like I said, I think that's mostly because we look at it from a view of, well, I can see myself doing that too. So just because you can see yourself doing it, or the thing that you can't see yourself doing, does that make it any more wrong than that thing that you can see yourself doing?
And that was the enlightening point for me when you was making that point, because that's when I realized, okay, now I see what you're saying, and that's where this kind of concept comes from. Because if I can't accept it for myself, it's hard for me to accept it for you. You know what I mean? And I mean, as crazy as that is, and with that word crazy, you know, it's understanding. It's just you understanding the situation. You know, and with the sports thing, you would think, now, us as men, and I know I'm speaking from an individual point right now, but I know all three of us well enough to know, if I know you're homosexual and you're in the locker room with me, it's going to change everything.
Complete dynamic.
It's
going to
change
room.
Everything.
Room.
You know?
It'll be no different. You want to understand. There's some level of uncomfortable.
You knew that. They have to say that, though. They have to say stuff like that because that's the politically correct thing to say. They don't want to let America know that this young man's going to have to deal with, you know, a potential hostile environment on the regular. You know?
Yeah, and he
did. Right. Which is probably the whole reason for him coming out.
He got a lot of praise for coming out because it was courageous. But I think it's going to be a lot of backlash. It ain't look at the incognito and the dude out of Miami thing. It's a big deal about that still going on. And this dude, far as I know, don't even supposed to be homosexual, right? But the homosexual slurs were thrown at him.
Right.
So it was
even a homosexuality type
issue.
They categorize that as just straight bullying.
Yeah, yeah.
But it still is a double standard.
Yeah.
Simply because you know, our Asian man, I don't know, whatever he is, he's not Asian. And you have words and terms that have been thrown out in this conversation that they've had amongst each other, any sex or whatever, that either it could be, or you said it could be, or somebody else could be, or however you were, two black men, you would have never heard about it. You know what I mean? Like, this is just the way he talks. This is how you can't deal with it, then something wrong with you. But because now we've been over the issue of black and white, now it's just a whole big deal. My thing is, when it came to the point where everybody who's been in any competitive sport who's played a team game, your teammates can be hard on you. Your teammates will be, what they call it.
A sense of initiation, but it's hazy.
We all do.
It's fun. Supposed to be done in a fun manner. I have seen it being taken too far.
Right.
I mean, I think we all have experienced it being taken too far. But you were part of something. So with that being, I mean, that's just like inside our individual household. What goes on in our house, you're supposed to keep it in house.
Right.
And I think that was the biggest issue. For all of us, when that all came out, it was like, okay, dog. And I'm saying dog because I'm just talking general and casual. I would have been like, okay, dog, look, man, you could have handled that with us. Why you had to go out and put that out? We're a team.
Right. And that's what most of our, and when I say our, I mean anybody that I talk to personally about it, that would be issues. Like, if I had an issue with what you said to me, I'm going to take it out with you on my mind. So it kind of made it seem like that.
And I think that's why... I don't even know incognito. Well,
Martin.
That's why I feel like Martin's going to actually receive more backlash out of that than the other guy. Because just like we sitting here and saying that, okay, it should be, you know, accepted to a certain extent as long as it don't go overboard. You know, it's a tradition.
Yeah.
You know, in sports. So I feel like Martin's going to have a rougher time finding it. I don't even know if he got any job or not. Rougher time finding a job, and somebody wanted to take that chance on him, then he called him.
Because he can't.
Right.
Let's be honest.
He has basically labeled himself soft.
Yeah.
Who wants a soft NFL player?
Yeah.
Offensive lineman.
The one.
In the trenches.
The one position where you cannot be soft.
None of it.
Anytime can you be soft as an offensive lineman, and he has basically labeled himself that.
Because that's how it
is. Yeah.
True.
Because somebody else is saying that I expect him to
come out.
To admit to that bother him.
Right.
That he expressed his feelings openly, and that exposed him to being called what we call him right now.
Which is what? What is that? A double standard.
It's a double standard.
We think of that.
So at the end of the day, it's like, okay, how is it that we come to this or we get in the mindset of double standard? It happens without even thinking about it. It happens. It's not something that you intentionally do, but we all guilty. I don't care what it might be. You can pick any subject. And I think, like I said, it's whatever I make issue with double standard about is that thing that I can't see myself with.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, I won't have a double standard. You know what I mean? Unless it's something that I just would be stupid about.
That's true too. And to that point, I was watching a sermon this morning by Bishop Noel Jones.
My man.
And he was speaking on standards. And he said Who gave us, as individuals, as human beings, the right to even say we have it? The only standard we should progress to be towards is the standard God puts forth. So with that being said, when you look at it from that standpoint, the standards we come about is stuff we done came up on our own and what we want and what we want to do. So really, honestly, everybody is a victim of double standards. But if we step away from it and take that I out of it again, like I like to say, once you put I in it and just go back to where we should be looking from our standard, which is God, who says love all, then you really can't look at everybody and say they wrong. That's judgmental.
But explain to me, you say, and I understand you listen to the sermon.
Right.
You said standard. What does that mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is that standard?
Right, right. And I think that's where it becomes kind of problem, because your understanding is individually different from my understanding.
So can
yeah.
we basically say that we create our own double standard?
Yep. Yep. Because if everybody went by the standard that is a one universal standard, it probably wouldn't be no double standard. It's just right and wrong.
Yeah, but it's impossible.
Because we're individuals.
It's impossible to have everybody.
Yeah.
And that's the conflict.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I'm
saying?
That's the conflict that we set beginning with that. Like, everybody's not going to think the same way.
Same way, right.
Hitler thought we would.
No, I don't think he thought that. He
I think that's what his goal was. Yeah, standard.
Yeah, he was trying to set a standard.
He's
he was trying to be godly.
Right.
His standard of the world. Yeah.
If you don't understand my standard, you don't have the same standard as I did.
Which
is my point. If God's not standard, that somehow may suggest to somebody that everybody should live under the same set of rules, the same thought process, the same idealism. That's impossible, though.
Yeah.
So how do we solve this equation? Like, okay, we know there's only one God. I believe there's only one God. But he made all of us individuals with our own thought pattern. If he is the standard, what does that mean to us?
And for me, it just means I have to, taking my own individual responsibility and accountability, which is something we are real big in, means I have to make sure whatever I'm doing and however I do it is in the standards of what I see as my standard. I can't really too much let myself become involved or consumed about what everybody else thinks. And then when with me saying that, then I shouldn't even be sitting there talking about double standard. Really.
Standard. Yeah, we use God standard as well. If you do.
Yeah, God is love.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you get to the point where I offer advice and I offer criticism and I offer everything that I offer, everything that I speak on and I do this and I do that, if it comes from a place of love, meaning it ain't to harm you, it's not to demean you, it's not out of none of that, it's to, from my understanding, help make whatever situation we're speaking on better.
Mm-hmm.
From a genuine place. You know what I'm saying? It's not,
I'm not
looking at this from a selfish place, but from a genuine place, this is what I really believe will make this situation better. Then I don't think you run into those selfish things. That's just my thing.
No, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. And I think that's what I was getting at. And I'm glad you cleared it up for me, because I totally agree with that. And I'm going to piggyback off that and say, yeah, that's how I want to portray myself when I come off the individual, anybody I encounter. This is genuinely me. You know what I mean? So I don't take nothing from you. Don't take nothing from me. I am the way I am. You are the way you are. But at the end of the day, I love you. You should love me. Because all I'm showing to you is love.
Okay. So having said all that, let's go back to what we want. Why is that such a big deal? Why is somebody's sexual preference a big deal? Why do we make that such a big issue?
It goes back to, you have a lot of scholars, you have a lot of clergymen, clergywomen, just the clergy that believe sexuality by the Bible is condemned. So with anything, if the Bible saying it's wrong, everybody says it's wrong because that's your guidance. You know what I mean?
That's your standard.
Yeah, that's your standard.
Right.
That's your standard. Now, I personally have conflict with that because I've read it, I understand it, I took it to see what I mean. We have a caller, so I'm going to cut my thoughts short and get our caller in because we cater to our callers and our viewers. So, caller, go ahead, state your name and whatever topic you have.
Just Greg, I was listening to your show, man. Just seeing what you're talking about, double standards.
Oh, yeah, man, we appreciate that. You have any insight, Greg? Welcome to Thoughts from My Brother, man.
Yeah, I just chimed in. Well, I don't know if there's double standards. It's just, to me, it's different roles that men and women have, you know. So a lot of times we think it's double standards, but like when I grew up, man, my sisters couldn't work outside the house. They had to work inside doing the dishes and help my mother out, but the boys had to work outside the house, like painting the house and trimming and doing all the, you know, serious stuff outside. So I don't know if
that's a great
double
point.
Standard.
That's a great point you make. That's a great point because that is true because it is. I mean, we all fall into different roles and different categories. And like you're saying, like when we was growing up, the girls didn't play basketball with us. I mean, we had
no,
exceptions.
They didn't. No, they
yeah,
didn't play ball.
You know, yeah, they used to sit on the sideline or they did other things, but they wasn't out there with us, so they didn't play football. And, I mean, at the end of the day, we always at the playground together, but everybody took on different roles. So that's true, too. And with those roles become, over time, you just feel people fall in certain categories, and I think that's where we find ourselves in standards there.
So my question would be to you, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
My question would be, I understand that this is how you were raised. A lot of our thoughts come from our upbringing. So because that was the way you were raised, do you agree with that thing? You know, women shouldn't be outside. Women shouldn't. There are certain jobs that don't.
No.
And there are certain things that men can do. Do you have a problem with
no,
being a nurse?
No.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, it isn't just men and women. There's different roles for boys and girls. You know, and I think we're getting out of our roles, man. We're starting to get into this double standards. Women can't do everything men can do, and we can't do everything they can do. So I just think we're going too far with this stuff, man. You know, women want to compete with men, but you know what? When men finally, because, you know, I'm 47, and I'm not going to lie. I mean, a lot of guys my age really didn't take women seriously. You know, growing up, we would hear women talk, kind of fluff it off. But this new generation of men, they're taking women very seriously when they say they want equality. And I think these men are going to start to treat women just like men treat men. And I think when that happens, women are going to really be in a difficult spot. I think it's going to happen within 15 years.
Great. I think a lot of them are already there, man.
Yeah.
A lot of them, you know, maybe they weren't given the choice to be put in that position, but, you know, their hands were forced, you know, whether daddy wasn't there or you know, absent father and their single mother. A lot of them are already been forced into that position to take on those what we call manly roles, you know, being the breadwinner of a household, you know, trying to, you know, keep the roof over the head and paying the bills, which traditionally, I can speak for myself, traditionally that is the man's role in a household, is to be the breadwinner. You know, so
it wasn't our household. Yeah.
You know, society has changed on us. So, you know, it's an evolution, man. We had no choice. We had to change. You know, we have to. It's not, you know, the 40s where, you know, a woman had to stay in a woman's place. I don't know if I'm in the right decade.
I think you were. 40s, 40s, 50s. You know, yeah. Early 60s.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm trying to understand, are we saying that we have drifted from where we should be, or are we saying that we should be willing to evolve
and share that role?
And share the role. Like, I'm kind of confused on what point we're making right now, because we say that, well, there's a difference between roles and double standards. But roles are what creates.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rick.
What I was saying is that I think women should have a right to go to college and get training and should be able to do any job she wants to do, if she's physically able to do. I really believe that. And I believe women should be treated equally like men, same rights. But I don't think women and men are the same physically. I just think that's where I draw the line. I just think we aren't suited or adapted for certain jobs. Women are better at certain jobs, and men are better at certain jobs. And also, I think that when it comes to raising kids, I think that kids need both parents in the household. Mm-hmm. I think women are very good at raising kids, but they're not good at raising adult males. I really don't think – I think they're woefully inadequate. And that's where I draw the line with women, trying to raise these families by themselves. That's where I think I draw the line with them. I just think we have to put a line in the sand there. Huh?
That's not their fault. That's not their fault, man. I mean, if they can't find a suitable candidate to you know, and not settle for just a man, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I can't blame her for that. And she's been forced into that position. She has no choice.
No,
I was pretty sure.
Well,
I don't think so.
I'm going to disagree. Yeah, she has a choice. Because
you have a choice, man.
Said,
everything's choices. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to. You said she can't find a suitable man. What defines a suitable man? Any man that doesn't step up a responsibility to help you raise that child and be provided. What makes them unsuitable? Now, unless he's the man that's not, okay, I don't want him. And I don't really care about him.
But what if he's a good father, though? He could be a good father figure and don't want to work. That don't necessarily.
Then it comes down to that individual choice. What you have to weigh out what's important. Do the bowl.
Also, I'm going to say that if she doesn't have a suitable man, then maybe she shouldn't be having kids. Maybe, you know, maybe you shouldn't. I hate to say it, but, you know, if you're not, if you can't feed your, if you can't feed your kids, house your kids, and provide a proper upbringing environment for your kids, not just having a place to stay and food. I mean, you have to invest time into your kids, personal time, development. If you don't have all those tools, you probably shouldn't be having kids, you know.
Exactly. I totally agree with you on that one, Greg. I think the whole panel agrees with you on that one. And I mean, your points are totally valid, and I understand totally where you're coming from. And I agree with a lot of your points. And I totally feel when I don't have a butt, surprisingly. And I totally believe that women and men are equal in a lot of standpoints. But it does come to a point where a man is needed and a woman is needed. It's certain things that men brings to upbringing a kid that a woman can't do on her own. And it's certain things that women bring to the upbringing that we can't do.
Yeah.
That nurturing, that loving, that just mama gonna take care of me. We really don't, we have it, but we don't, most men don't know how to express their stuff. We just,
you know, you know, it's the salt and the pepper, man. And it actually goes beyond mother and father. To me, the mother and father is like the salt and the pepper. You know, pop brings the pepper, mm-hmm. mom's the salt. And they both balance each other out as a kid. It's like polar opposites. But what I would say is that not only do you need a mother and father, I had uncles and aunts. All right? And I had grandparents on both sides, right?
Yeah.
So I had uncles and shit. I had aunts. I had grandparents all throwing stuff at me, man, all telling me stuff. Hey, boy, hey, boy, hey, boy, hey, boy. You know, I was hearing a lot of different stuff growing up. And you know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you guys – I had real uncles. I had these fake uncles, you know, with do-rags and pants hanging off their ass. I had real uncles, you know, real uncles. And
take your business. Yeah. Take
your
business. You
got
away from that business.
It came down to, I don't want you to tell my child, some parents
like
to take that respect. When we grew up, I don't care where you were in the community.
Anybody could just
if you did something wrong.
You might catch three before you even get home to get the one you know you're going to get.
Yeah.
Just because three, a neighbor, a friend of the family, a uncle, a aunt, saw you doing something you ain't had no business doing. You're going to get that one. Two or three more, maybe. And then when you get home, you're going to get the one that you already waiting
on. On the way home. Hey, I heard it.
Yeah.
Come
in. No, you ain't had
no win. We lost that.
Yeah.
Because now, don't put your hand. You
right.
Tell me what he did, and I'll have
to give me the choice to the this.
So what that does for a child is...
Let them know you can't do nothing.
There's nothing you can do.
You ain't my daddy.
You ain't my daddy. That's what we get. And then now when mama, because all the responsibility is for mama or daddy, they get tired sometimes. So I started letting things slide. I started, even what I would have got you for, I'm going to let it build up. So that gives a kid, like, we're dealing with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment you let up any out on the kids, that gives them more power to do what they want to do. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with pretty much everything you said. I don't know if you have anything else that you want to add to what you said.
You know what, man? I want to see the system collapse right now, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't think we can continue on with the system we have, where we have these blended families and baby daddies, baby mothers, and the system has to come to an end. And the sooner it goes away, the better we'll be as a black race. It has to just go away, man. We have to get rid of the system. It's not working. I don't know whether we can go back to the old ways. I think that's probably not going to work, where the father was like running things and, you know, and then the mother kind of just did with the father. We probably not going to go back to that system, but we have to have some sort of system, man, where we got two parents. I don't know how we're going to have it, but this system now of women running things and having kids, it's just not good. It's not working for us, man. You know, it's not going to work for us. Huh?
That's all part of a bigger system, in my opinion. You know what I mean? And it's that, how you say, conquer and divide mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, divide and conquer. I mean,
mm-hmm.
If I can cause separation, and I'm not saying that it comes from any one source, but I am saying that it comes from one source. If I can cause separation or division within the country, I demolish, I destroy that.
You kill the foundation.
Yeah. If I can remove father, I destroy the house, whether the kid or the mother, whoever, whether they realize it immediately or not. That father's impact on that house is irreversible.
Yeah, because you need salt and pepper. You can't just have salt. Yeah, and that's the Greg's point. Yeah, you just can't have one. And I totally agree with you, Greg. We have to get back to the understanding that it takes a family or a village to raise kids. It really does. And the kids are the future. Because we sit here today because we all had that upbringing that we understand the difference. That's why we're able to call out what we see now doesn't make sense to you.
And I think that is how we fix the problem, Greg. You know, you say, you know, we got to fix this. The system's not working. We got to take upon ourselves individually. Right. Individual effort to make that change, to be there for that child. To instill in that child what's the difference between right and wrong, you know, and I hate to say it, but almost trust the people around you, you know, that you are a part of. You got to have trust in those people to think that they are going to not steer your child wrong.
Yeah, but if you take an individual accountability for your household,
right.
then you understand when it comes to somebody else's kids. Just like I may want somebody to steer my child in the right direction,
I try to steer there.
Right. And what I'm saying in a roundabout way is when you start taking that accountability, each person, the village will form again, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, the village is not there because the accountability is not there in my own house, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not taking care of mine, what makes you think I care about yours?
And that's the problem. We stop taking accountability for ourselves and want to point out everybody else.
Exactly.
And that's true. That's true. And you can't tell me nothing if I don't see you doing it. You know?
And you know what?
Greg,
and the moral compass is gone, man. I see mm-hmm. I see people riding around in cars playing, you know, rap music. I got no problem with that. But cussing, and their little kids are listening to it,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
adults are acting crazy, out of control. I mean, these kids just don't have no compass, man, no moral compass from adults. I blame some of this on us, too,
yeah.
because the kids are just doing what we're doing for the most part.
Yeah.
That's what I see. You know,
well,
we're allowing them, but I'd like to know, what would you guys do to change this? I mean, what steps do? We need to do? I'm just curious.
Well, this is from our perspective, this is one of the things that we felt we could do. We opened up an avenue to discuss, to bring awareness, to
put it out.
Yeah, just to put it out there. Like once the question of accountability comes up, if you have any type of responsibility about yourself, you have to ask yourself about your level of accountability in your situation. If each person gets to that point where I question my own accountability, like I said, eventually we'll see the problem start to solve itself. There's not a whole bunch that you have to do. It's an individual effort, and it all starts with your own.
And more importantly, to answer your question, more importantly, we have to, as individuals, our steps, we've decided, I know just amongst the three of us, we've all decided to take accountability for the things we do in front of our kids and outside of home. So other individuals can see we're not just saying it. We want to show you we're walking in it. And if it seems that we're doing a little better over here, maybe you'll pick up and want to try, you know? Because at some point you can't tell a person but so much. And you have to kind of step back and let your actions speak for you.
You're right. Because I remember I smoked weed for years, and I didn't want my kids smoking. I had a kid. And I just stopped smoking weed. I didn't want my kids smoking weed and doing all this nonsense. So I just had to watch what I'm doing, and because kids watch what we do, they emulate us. You know, it's the old saying: kids don't do as you say; they do as you know things you hide.
Yeah.
That's what the kids really do.
It's true.
You opened up an avenue. I was going around, but I stopped myself. As soon as you said it, I'll go along with it. There's a lot of, I think, the number one problem, the number one thing that we have to overcome to get back to that level of responsibility, accountability, whatever, it's selfishness. It's not so much that, I think a lot of the reasons why fathers aren't in the house is not because I don't want to take care of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the selfish nature that me and the mother have.
Mm-hmm.
And because we can't overcome ourselves for the sake of this child, then that child suffers. And that's just the bottom line. You said, I smoke weed. I don't have a problem with that. I don't think anybody who will be honest.
I used to. I quit when my son came along.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, you made an effort. I'm going to put myself aside for the sake of my child. I don't want my child to
suffer.
So I'll stop for it. That's selflessness.
Mm-hmm.
We have more of that.
That's a big sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's a big sacrifice.
Right.
And you took yourself totally out of what I want, and you thought about what was the best for you. I heard somewhere that a family that puts the wants and needs of family first before son and daughter is a family that survives. It's true. Because if I make a decision on what's best for an individual child in my family or individually myself, my family may suffer from me. I need to make the decision that's best for my family, you know? And I think that's, I don't know, I'm not trying to speak for you, Greg, but I think that's what you're saying, and that's what you, your actions show, really, honestly, because you made a selfless decision to stop smoking because you knew, I don't want my kids doing it, so why should I do it? You know?
Yeah.
The best person
yeah.
to learn from is the person they see every day, you know?
Also healthy, you know what, also healthy food. Like, I quit eating a lot of fried food. I eat a lot of fried chicken, and I still eat catfish fried, but I start cooking the olive oil, my wife. We start eating more healthier food, man. I didn't want my kid eating all that junk food. We quit buying, we didn't have a lot of pop in the house. I just starting him off eating healthier food, it starts at an early age. And I'll tell you something else, man, that I think a lot of dudes could do. This is my own opinion. I think a lot of dudes aren't exercising masculine energy in their homes. They aren't laying the law down. I think that's the biggest problem I see. That they want to get in these corporations and they have all these councils with the kids and negotiating with their wives. I think a lot of dudes need to start putting their not be tyrants. They start putting their foot down a little bit more in their homes, man. Mm-hmm. They start have some guidelines for the kids and the wife. I just think kids respond to that, man. You know, just some straight up James Evan style,
Yeah, we feel you. We totally feel you, Greg. We totally feel you. Totally feel you. I mean, I really appreciate you calling in. This is what we want. This is what we want, man. This is exactly what we want. The point of view of others. I mean, even if your point of view is different from ours, it's enlightening. You know what I mean? We're trying to learn. And we want others to get something out of it.
Was there anything else you have for?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
man. Yeah, I appreciate that. And, like you said, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for other things, we're looking for other parts, confirmation or correction.
And there's nothing else. You just let Greg know he won by himself.
Yeah.
He's not the only. Father that out there trying that sees what's going wrong around him. He look like I had said before we got on the air. He realizes there's a war going on.
Yeah.
Okay, he's awake. Yeah. He's awake, and he realizes that there's a war going on, and he's trying to find answers on how to end that war.
All right, let's go ahead. All right, go ahead and call us. What's your name?
Oh, I'm just listening. Just me. I'm just listening to the conversation.
Oh, okay. Hey, Greg. Let me go ahead right now and let you know how much I appreciate you pointing out the points you did. Because some of the points you just made me accountable for some of the things decisions I'm making in my own. As far as the healthy food, pushing that authority a little farther to make sure I have that structure. Those are the kind of things that I may not question myself on, but if I hear it coming from another male and he's saying outright, and I have to admit to myself, hey, that makes sense, that I have to look back into myself and say, maybe I should go about things a little bit.
But it's finding that balance, too.
I'm not saying
I don't eat. I don't eat catfish. I do eat catfish. I'm just trying to make it a regular thing. We do go to KFC every now and then, but we ain't got, we don't eat that junk all the time. I mean, there is a time and place for it,
You're setting the structure. You're setting the standard that showing your kids that, you can indulge sometimes, but you really want to put your that mindset of where this is the right thing and this is what's best for. And that's commendable. That's what I want to say to you. I really appreciate you putting that out. I really do.
So let's go back to that.
Okay.
What I was saying about the balance is this: like, it doesn't mean no good to come into my house and have the attitude that I'm the authoritative figure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be my way, or I'm going to lay down these rules and this is what it's going to be. I'm not feminine. I'm not. This is it. You have to learn how to do that from a place. I use the word love. I'm saying, like, you have to learn how to follow. I think an effective leader has to learn how to follow.
Yeah, I told you.
So I found out, I look at what's not there, and I look at how I've tried to change what's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got two things that's not working. This initial thing, and then the way I approach the initial thing is not working. I still can't change that thing until I change my approach.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
We have a lot of men who may have the attitude that on the man of the doubt, but you approach it in a manner that's not acceptable, in a manner that's not receptive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A person that you're trying to, and you're genuinely doing it from a place where you have good intention, but you don't know how to deliver it. So I think there's a lot of difference. Aspects that go into it, but it all comes back to the same thing. You have to approach it from a place of love and understanding that my way ain't always the right way.
Yeah. And BJ said it best, man. He said this back on a couple shows ago. I believe he said, parenting is all it takes is trying. The rest of it, you learn along the way. Anyway, nobody knows how to parent until you become.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we've all had parents, and it's certain things and certain ways they would have outparented us we didn't agree with.
Right.
So, I mean, once we became parents, we tried to put our spin on certain things. And that didn't work at times. Like you said, Corey, it didn't work at times, so you had to adjust again.
You know what? You know what? My parents used to spank, right? And I didn't really believe in spanking. And I've got two kids. My first kid, I didn't spank at all, man. He was pretty. My second one's kind of a knucklehead. I had to go to his ass a few times already, man. And so that the second one that went out the window with him, man, because he's hard headed. He don't like to listen, man. So I got to work his ass out sometimes, man. So I had to adjust, man.
And that's what I'm saying with the parenting. It's like the BJ's point, man. We all are learning how to parent along the way. And it is not going to ever stop. That's the thing. Because I'm 35 today, and I can remember that she switched up now as far as handling it. You know what I'm saying? So she's still learning. And I'm still learning.
So am I. I'm still learning. I'm learning too, bro.
Yeah.
I'm 48 now. I'm still learning, man.
And that's the beauty of it, though. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for nothing.
It's a process. Everything about life is a process. There is no I've arrived at being a man.
Yeah.
I've arrived at being. Everything is a process. It's always a learning opportunity. If you take it, though. If you ever arrive somewhere, that means there's nothing else for you to learn.
Do.
So you stop being effective at that point, in my opinion. You can't learn anything else, then you lose your so whatever it is that you started with.
There's no progression.
Yeah,
there's no progression. What's the point of being in something you're not progressing, you know?
And that's why I say effectiveness. I'm dealing with a kid who's still evolving, but I'm not evolving.
I'm not doing him no good. Right.
At some point, that kid.
I was just going to say, that kid going to catch up.
Yes.
He's going to peak game. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we can stay on this topic forever, boys. I don't mind. You know, we can move to the next topic.
We have some more double standards that stretch further
than that.
Men versus women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we have standards.
Inside of men
like,
versus men.
I think last week one was raised why women can accept women who have kids out of wedlock but can't accept a woman who I think that's how we said it when we're talking to you. We're talking about a woman who's not married. I don't remember
women having babies and they got a ring on their finger.
Right.
But as men we are looked upon to marry women once we get them pregnant. It was something to that extent on my own.
The way he put it was women versus women. Double standard between women.
So I think what he was saying was, you know, a woman that has a child out of wedlock can sometimes be looked down upon.
when a man is,
right,
you know, is considered to be a pimp or whatever, you know. So that, I think that's what point he was.
It was from a woman's point of view. He was, right, he was talking, mm-hmm, from. He was saying like women don't find fault in men running around, but if a woman gets pregnant, then she considered a hoe, quote unquote.
Yeah, but we already knew that, and that's one that most of us accept.
As men, we accept it. Yeah.
We accept that.
Yeah.
Because no, there's not. I don't think too many men that want a woman that has been.
Choose the right words, homie.
Yeah.
Choose the right word now.
A woman who has been, let's just say,
I like that. That was all right.
But
I think that's a man's. I think that's a man's greatest fear, of marrying a hoe. I think it is. Huh?
We agree. We were trying
to step around, you know, step around the bushes. You went right to it.
And it's the truth, though. It is the truth.
I think that's the greatest fear of any man, marrying a woman. Yes, sir. I think that's a man's greatest fear, marrying a hoe. I mean, because, you know, when a man wants to get married, he doesn't want his woman, but, you know, you go somewhere and she know a bunch of dudes, they all had her. And I just think men don't want to marry women. It also, you know, a lot of men think that men don't want to marry women because of the kids. I don't think it's the kids. I think, you know, you got to deal with another man, their kid's father, and the relationship. You know, and then you have to deal with the relationship between the kids. And maybe they got two different fathers, three different fathers. That's how it is now. I mean, so you got to deal. You got to deal with all that, and then you got to deal with all that baggage, man. And then also the kid, the women always put the kids ahead of you. You know, in a marriage, if you're going to marry a woman with kids, those kids are always going to come first. You're always going to be sort of at the bottom. And I just think a lot of dudes, man, it's just like, it's not really worth it, man. That's why they're not getting married to a lot of these women, because of all that. It's just not worth it, man, you know, to a lot of dudes.
So, as a man, when do we get to the point where we realize it's not worth marrying? Why do we get involved with it? No, I'm saying, if you've already come to the conclusion that this person is not somebody that I would marry, and I just want to answer this question to open up the talk, so we got another follow. If this person is not somebody that I would marry, why get involved with this person at all? Let me tell you the caller before you answer that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, go ahead, caller. State your name, questions, comment, concern. Hello?
Go ahead, Carla. Greg, if you want to, you can go ahead and elaborate on that question.
Well, it's pretty easy. I mean, dudes might see a chick that they like, and he just may want to hit it, man, to be honest. I mean, like, you know, that's just words. That's where his mind's at. I know a lot of friends like that. They don't necessarily want to marry these women or even be in a long term. They just want to hit it. And they'll tell women exactly what they want to hear to hit it. And then they'll move on to the next one. And that's just basically what I see out here, you know.
Okay, so this show, the topic of this show is double standards. And we're trying to alleviate some of those things.
Okay.
I understand your thought process. Trust me, I do. Why is that acceptable?
It's acceptable because women let it be acceptable. That's why. I mean, women, you know what? I put some of this on women. They have all the power. You know, they are the CEO of their vaginas, and they're the general managers of their vaginas, CEO. They determine who comes in, who goes, who's not going to come in. And from what I see, I got friends out here, and they're just going through women like nothing, man. And they're just telling women what they want to hear. And I don't know, man. Women seem to go for it. They seem gullible, from what I'm seeing. I mean, I don't know. That's the only way I can say it. You know?
All right, Greg. Don't hang up on me.
All right.
All right, caller, you on the air. questions,
Hello?
Carla, you there? Go ahead, Carla.
Hello?
Go ahead, Carla.
I'm on air?
Yeah, you're on air, Carla. Go on, state your name and give us a question or whatever you're calling us.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Calling in, man. And, you know, I'm calling in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. My thing is as far as the double standard thing, I don't forget. I'm excited. I ain't never been on live on radio. I wanted to talk about, though, the double standard, how, you know, you have women that get pregnant and, you know, that responsibility, like, always falls on the woman. It's like, black man really is the person that I want to direct this to. I just want to say the black man. I see a lot of black men that just leave the sisters just hanging. So it's like, it would be nice just to have that table turned for a day, you know, to wake a lot of brothers up out there, you know what I'm saying, and see how difficult it is to raise your child, you know what I'm saying?
I think that's a great question. I mean, it goes back to accountability. I mean, it just as individuals, we have to be able to say, I'm a man, I'm going to take care of what I need to take care of. You have to be accountable for any situation or anything you get yourself into. And a lot of us, and I'm speaking for myself because I've felt on times where I haven't been accountable or just not taking that responsibility and being accountable for what we need to do. It's a sad situation because I feel as if, like we were saying earlier where I call it bread, you need that salt and pepper. And all kids need both parents. So
right.
The woman out there, it's terrible.
Wait, let me throw a monkey wrench in this.
Yeah.
Okay, you're dealing with a female. Let's say as a man, you're dealing with a female. She has a female. Everything's good. Along the way, things start to deteriorate. But it's too late because she's pregnant. And you get to a point that... And I'm just talking about that you're questioning about you get to a point where you just realize this is not...
Oh, man. I'm cavitating.
But I don't have to live with this person. It gets to a point sometimes in some situations where even that becomes difficult. I can't even co-parent with you. So now I'm faced with just leaving this whole situation or dealing with the nonsense that I get with dealing with you just to handle my responsibility as a co-parent, as a father, as a whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we draw the line? Do we just deal with that person and deal with those issues and deal with that whatever for the sake of that child? Or do we get to a point where we realize we're causing more harm than we're doing good and we leave the situation altogether? I'm saying you got to look at it both ways. Some people aren't strong enough to deal with the drama, I guess. Where how do you
Accountability. That is the key word that he said. It goes back to accountability. Because if you don't want to deal with this person, it's a one-night stand, like the last dude was saying, they are jutting down or whatever, you know. Put a sock on it. Put a sock on the pickle. Put a sock on the pickle and do the right thing. Be responsible. Be responsible for yourself. Then you ain't got to worry about, man, like Kanye say, 18 years, 18 years.
Yeah.
Got to deal with
and it's long,
18 years.
It's really long than that. And I think both of y'all made great points. And I like the way you throw that monkey wrench in there because that's true. We was forgetting about that side that it's not always easy and gravy to deal with someone you have a baby with.
Yeah, because we put a lot of emphasis on the man.
Mm-hmm.
We look at him, and this is that double standard again. There are some chicks, females, whatever you want to call them, That is their goal. That is their aim. That is their whatever. I want
to
get
to
pregnant.
Trick you.
This.
Exactly. Yeah,
I
don't. To trick you. Yeah.
I don't want to be involved with you. All I want is to see. For whatever reason, you could have thought you saw something in him or with him or about him that's not really there, or you could have saw what it is. But at the end of the day, now you've created this baby, and your intention, and I'm talking about the mama, like, you are not the one who really has this child. The father could really be like, I want to be that dude.
Mm-hmm.
But because you are looking at it from a selfish point of view, you can kill him.
I can clear it up. I go out. I meet Susie. You know, hey, let's do it. Me and Susie finna do it. If Susie ain't handing me a condom, I need to be pulling one out my wallet. So that's letting me know right there. Susie ain't finna be responsible, but this could be potentially my next baby mama. So right there, before panties come off, the conversations that happen, okay, do you got the contraceptive or, you know, hey, I got one in my wallet. And then me, being a man, and I know the tricks that's played, I want to use the one in my wallet anyway because you ain't finna hand me one with a hole in it. You know what I'm saying?
That's that.
It's got to be.
That's accountability. And that's
happen.
Yeah. And that's where we're saying as men, we have to take that and then double standards. Any kind of standard don't matter because you're setting the standard from the jump. You're letting it be known this is how I'm going to handle it, however you want to do it, and you're taking something from it because you're realizing, like you said, Susie might not be up to something no good because Susie ain't got no condom, but Susie want to do something.
Here we go. I'm going to reel everybody in right here. Or even
before is this conversation.
We said 25, 30 minutes ago that there was one step.
Yeah.
Everything starts from that one step.
Mm-hmm.
We are now making excuses for not following that one step. We're trying to find ways to make that better. Had we stuck to the original plan,
mm-hmm.
And I know it's hard, and I know, you know, at this point it's too late, but for some it's not, and for those who did it too. There is a system, and it's called you meet a woman, you court a woman,
mm-hmm.
you find out who that person is,
mm-hmm.
you marry that woman, then you consummate your marriage, then you don't have these issues. You're married to that person. So when she becomes pregnant, this is my wife. This is my family. This is my business. I'm not worried about what she has. I'm not worried about dealing with a person that I don't know. I've got to know you before we even went that way.
Mm-hmm.
That brings us back to that initial standard,
mm-hmm.
which alleviates all the double standards that could have come from doing it wrong. Am I? I don't know.
No. I think you're dead on it. And I think that you just brought the conversation to life. Because we was missing that whole point because we started following the backtrack of meeting Susie. Not saying that you're wrong, Mel, but meeting Susie, which is put you in a double standard.
Mm-hmm.
Let's meet Susie and take Susie a couple of dates. See if Susie got the intellect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? See if Susie got the intellect, not just the body. Because that's what Susie got. That's how Susie got me in the club.
That's what
I'm talking about. Yeah, that's what got me in the club. At least Susie got the intellect. Route that Corey is referring to, and then that's the standard. If we follow that standard, there is no double standard. Because if it don't work, then you know why it didn't work.
I can't see the package. Let's talk on the phone for a little bit. Let's see what you really talking about. Okay, we've made it past that stuff. Now let's hang out a little bit. Let's get you around some of my people and see what some of my people think about you that I might not have been able to see. Okay, so now I go around your people. I mean, what I'm saying in a roundabout way is we skip a lot of steps in the process and then expect it to work.
Yeah.
The process is
that's true.
No, it don't work. It don't work that way. So when you take shortcuts, expect shortcuts.
Woo! That's loaded, but it's true. That's loaded.
Dig that. Dig that.
I'm out of content.
I get it.
All right. Appreciate it. Hey, Mel.
Yeah.
What else you got for?
Hey, man, I just want to say it's real what y'all doing, man. And, you know what I'm saying, Milwaukee Mel got your support. Peace out.
Appreciate it, Mel, man. Thanks for the love and calling.
Thanks for calling, man.
Appreciate it.
Yep, yep.
I think we still got Greg on the line. Want to open back up?
Greg, yeah, man, you know, I was going to say. Yeah, I was going to say, man, look, he said the standards were the women had to get married and put a ring on it before they even got sex. But there was a pre-standard even before that. The fathers had to check the boy out, or the man, young man out. He was checked out by the dad.
Yeah.
And the brothers looked him up and down,
yeah,
too, all right, before
yeah
you even got to take her out. You know, if Pop didn't like her, uncles, he was done. I don't like his ass. Why? I just don't like him. That was it. He was finished,
yeah,
right? Didn't even need a reason. All right.
Wasn't
gonna, huh?
Yeah. You weren't going to go against him. You weren't going to go against that. And I think that goes back to, like, to the original, how we've gotten away from it. We should get back. Because that's the evolution of us failing right now.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, the microwave. Yeah, the oven worked just fine. You know what I mean? The oven worked just fine, but we had to go to the microwave. And it's
yeah
just so much. I mean, you can even look at it in technology, how stuff is trending. It's just progressing so fast.
Yeah, think about it. When was the last time, and I think I asked you guys a question, but when was the last time you picked up a phone book?
Do they even
exist? When was the last time you picked up a map?
They still put a lot of them talk on.
When was the last time you went to a wedding? I haven't been to a wedding in years. When's the last time you guys been to a wedding?
That's true too.
Think about that.
That's true.
Yeah.
When's the last time you've been to a funeral? I bet you've been to a funeral last couple of years. I've been to
yeah
a wedding last couple of years. You know?
And it's true. That's a good point, Greg. That's a great point. That's a great point. I mean, and like you said, the phone book, the pay phones are non-existent. I was told when I was younger, have a quarter in your pocket so you can use the pay phone. If I had a quarter in my pocket now, it wouldn't do me no good.
No.
You know what I'm saying? You can't do nothing. You can't even pay phone by the time they went out. You couldn't even use them with a quarter.
I didn't say a quarter when you even got your phone call on the pay phone.
I have a question for you guys. How many of you guys can tell me your best friend's, your top five friend's phone number off the top of your head without having to look for it in your phone? Just memorize a phone number. How many phone numbers do you have memorized? Think about that.
And talk to them every day. I talk to them
every
day
and don't
know their phone number.
And don't even know their phone numbers.
I know one phone number by heart. And it ain't my house number. Ain't that crazy? It's my mother's number. And that's the thing we was using phones. You know what I'm saying? When we had to use phones. And I remember my grandma now. She's non-existent anymore. But besides that, you really don't. You go to a name and you hit it.
You don't even know the numbers.
Yeah.
The smart generation of dumb people.
Yeah.
What's your son's phone number? What's your son's phone number? I don't even know it.
Hold on a second. Let me look it up.
I have to look up my own phone.
Yeah.
As crazy as that may be, I have to go through my phone to find my own phone.
I say this a lot, man. We run into tomorrow, and we only experience today. It makes no sense to me to be in such a rush. Tomorrow never comes. I don't know why nobody realized that. We steady say tomorrow, but we've never seen it. So just be patient in the day. I mean, it worked for them back then. It worked for us. That's why we're here today. So why are we speeding up now? Where are we going? Enjoy the time.
Go ahead, Greg. I just think it's black folks, man. We got to quit following all this stuff that they got out here for us, man. Because the dominant society, it ain't working for them either, man. Their families are falling apart, too, just like ours are. They got the same problems we got. We're just accelerating a little bit faster than these white folks, but they got the same issues we got. I think we need to just get off the treadmill and just go back, man, you know. You know what I'm saying? We got to find our – yeah.
As a people and as a ethnic group, over time, if you go back and check the history of black individuals, black history, we've never been in a hurry to do anything. And now all of a sudden it seems like we want to catch on to the times and speed up, and it's only hurting us. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like if it worked for grandma, why do I feel as if I'm better than grandma? Grandma's the reason I got the foundation I have.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of, you know, we just have to.
Like you said,
yeah,
buy in.
Buy in, yeah.
Don't buy in. There's certain things
you should buy into
and make them work for you.
Yeah.
But there are some things that just aren't worth the state. They aren't worth the thought that you give them. They aren't worth the consideration. It's not worth it.
Yeah, it takes you farther away from what you should be concentrating on. Well, it really does, because you get caught up. And a prime example is how we were sitting there having this conversation about double standards, and you brought it back to life by pointing out if we follow the standard that we said in the initial beginning of this conversation, you may not even run into all that. Mm-hmm. And like Greg said, you had to run whoever you was bringing home by the home. Grandma, auntie, grandma, daddy.
They had to come to the door. They had to come. I remember my sisters, they had to knock on the damn door to come and get my sister. He had to come physically. I'm coming for someone, and, you know, he had to come to the, not just meet me around the corner or, you know, I'll pull up and come on out. None of that, no, it wasn't happening, man. You had to come to the door. You had to drop her off at the door, too.
If you think, why would you stop bringing them off?
Yeah, they was running them off.
They ran them off.
That's true.
I don't really blame men, man. You know what, man? I actually put a lot of this on women. Because man, the sexual revolution, women want to do what we do. They want to go out and have sex with, like, you know, guys go out and have sex, have fun, and then get married. Women are actually doing what men used to do. They're just having sex with different men, and then they want to get married, and then they want to get married when they're 30s or whatever. But it can't work for them.
Great.
It just don't work for them. Yeah.
Don't go out.
I can't let you do that. I can't let you put it all on women. I can't let you do that because I say this. If women, you said women want to jump out and they want to have sex and they want to do this, they want to do that.
Yeah.
If we didn't empower them to do that, who would they do it with?
Yeah, that's true.
If you didn't, I don't care what woman on this planet, if she wants a man.
Because
if
we blame them for that.
Exactly. It takes two. You can't put it on one party.
I tell you what, they're the gatekeeper, bro. They're the CEO of their vaginas. They're the general manager of their vagina. Sorry.
So what Greg is saying, though, is he blames them because if they don't allow us
back
to that standard, that standard of a man can sleep around and it's okay. Mm. If they don't allow us to sleep with them, then
it stops everything.
It stops everything.
It's almost like you stop the conversation.
It don't even get to that point. That's why he's blaming them.
Okay, so
and when I was a kid in the 70s, as a 15-year-old boy in the 70s, All my buddies and friends my age in the 70s, we all were trying to pull down girls' panties back in the 70s. They were doing that back in the 1870s, too, trying to pull girls' panties down, trying to do whatever we did to trick them, whatever. But some girls would tell you no, okay? Some girls would say yeah, okay? Now, the ones that had the standards were the ones that got married. The ones that didn't have standards, the ones that didn't get married. It's the same old game. Ain't nothing changed, man. Dude, boys are always going to try to trick girls and pull their panties down. It's been going on for thousands of years, all right? But women were the gatekeepers, all right? And they would say, no, you want some of this. You need to do this. You need to get a job. You need to marry me. Put a ring on it, and then you can have this. And we'd have kids. It was a system, man. The system is broken.
Okay, we're going to leave it there and let y'all agree to disagree.
Or disagree. All right.
Get this next call in, Greg. Hold on with us. Stay there with us, though, Greg. Don't leave now.
All right.
Cool. Look like we lost that call.
Oh, we lost the call anyway.
Okay, good.
Ain't come, Greg.
Ain't
come.
Oh,
so
no.
Hold on.
He said, oh, no.
What I'm hearing you say is that you lead. Now we've been using this word accountability the whole show.
Right.
You are telling me that you leave your accountability up to them. That's what you're telling me in a roundabout. Yeah, because if they didn't do this, then I wouldn't do that. When does Greg say, it doesn't matter what you do, because I know that this is not what I want to do, or this is not what I'm looking for, or this may lead me down the wrong path. I'm not going to do it. Whether you can lay there and pull them off and do whatever you want to do. I'm just not going to take the bait. That's your level of accountability. So what she does...
Well, I'm going to break it down a little bit further. To me, this is how men think, my generation. I think back then in the 70s, it's probably 70-30, good girls to bad girls. 70% of them were probably good, 30% were questionable. And boys and men back then would separate women, the good girls and the bad girls. All right? Bad girls did it, good girls didn't. All right? You don't worry about their reputations. And men, boys, you know, you want to have sex, so you would screw the bad girls, whatever. The problem is now, most of the women are bad girls. And they want to switch up and get married and be good girls. And men aren't going for it. It's just the way it is, man. I didn't make the rules. This has been going on for 5,000 years, since the Bible, Jezebel. This has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. I didn't make the rules, bro. It's just the way it is. You cannot have sex with multiple men, have kids, and then expect a man to marry you. It just does not work that way. Go out here and try to screw an Asian woman and have a baby with some chick from China or Japan. It's not going to happen, okay? They're not going to be out here having kids out of wedlock because Chinese woman know if I have a kid out of wedlock, that's going to harm my chances of finding a husband. I mean, women aren't thinking this thing through. The smart ones are. They're not going to, even a prostitute doesn't drop a baby. I mean, if a woman does not want to have a baby, you could drop a jar of sperm in her vagina every day, and she's not going to get pregnant, all right? So, yes, I put the onus on the women, okay? I'm sorry. I blame the men a little bit. Men should strap up, but the final responsibility is rest with the woman, man, okay? Keep her legs closed, man, all right? Demand a ring, get married, and then have a kid. Problem solved, all right?
Well, I understand where you're coming from, right, Greg? But what do we say to the majority of women that probably won't agree with it? Like, what? Because, you know, the average woman is not going to take that guy. So how do we approach that? Do we just
we say what we're saying to them right now. We're saying nothing. We're not talking to them. That's the problem. We're not marrying them. We're not dating them. We're avoiding them. Have you noticed women aren't going out on dates? They aren't getting marriage proposals. Men aren't messing with them. Has women noticed that? Their brothers ain't really messing with them anymore? Have you guys seen this stuff? Go to a local mall. What do you see? You see sisters walking by themselves with strollers. You don't have not a man in sight. Men are silently walking away from them. They're saying no. Women don't get it. They don't understand it. We're talking, but we're just not talking. That's what we're saying. We're not dealing with them.
All right.
We're leaving them alone.
Greg, I need you to hold on 1 second. I think we got to call it back. I want to get this opportunity. Hold on 1 second for me. I've got another call on the back. All right, caller, go ahead. State your name, question, opinion.
Hi, yes. I have a question for Greg. Are you married?
Hold on a minute. I think. Well,
all right, Greg, you heard the question, right?
Yeah, I'm married. Yes.
Okay, so do you feel that men can go and do whatever they choose to, and women have to pretty much be barefoot and pregnant in the house and don't have any freedom? Like all the standards, they have certain standards they have to live upon versus men don't?
I think women can have sexual freedom, but you better not be getting pregnant out here, okay? That's the evidence. You probably should stop having the tattoos. You should hide it a bit more. Women used to camouflage it back in the day. They were out here screwing, but they would hide it or they'd move to another town. I think you can have sexual freedom, but you better not have evidence of it. Put it that way.
Okay,
men,
but you know this is 2014 and not 19 B.C.?
It doesn't matter. It could be 1952.
And why you say?
Because men want exclusivity. on a woman's vagina. It's important to men. Very important. All right. We don't want a bunch of men, random men in it. And that just precludes your chance of getting a dude. We talk, you know, dudes talk. If a guy's out here, if a friend of mine is dating a woman and I know she might be a hoe, I'm going to tell him. And if I'm dating a woman that has a back pass, my friends are going to tell me, look, man, you better watch that girl. You know, I know about her. Guys talk. Okay?
And women don't? I'm trying to understand where you're going here, because men talk and also women talk, but women also have a code as far as if a woman has messed with a man, they're not going to go behind them. And if a woman do, then that's probably not a woman you want to have in your bed or on your hip anyway. Just the same thing as a man. If you sleeping with the next woman and you supposed to be with this woman, I don't think a woman will want to lay up with you or have you on her hip as well. I mean, there are man whores just as like there are women.
Yeah, but the only difference is you guys have evidence of your whoredom, 3 kids by 3 different men. That's the evidence.
You're one of the men that gave one of the girls one of the babies.
No, not mine. My kids were born. I've been married twice, and my kids are born.
Okay, not you in general, but I'm just saying, men, it takes two. So as far as women going around, the men, if that man leaves, you're coming in to get the next woman, to lay with that woman and get her pregnant again.
Well, if the man
leaves, you have to have standards as a man yourself. You can't put it all on women and say, oh, the woman has to have a standard. You being a man, head of household, supposed to bring the bread home, has to have higher standards, so you say, than women. So with you going behind this person and that person, you're just lowering your standards.
But how's a man going to be head of household if he's not married to you? It doesn't make any sense. Maybe you should get married first before you decide to have a kid with him. And I tell you, if you're married to a guy, chances of him leaving are probably a lot lower than some dude you met at the club and he blew your back out behind, at the Motel 6, the second date. That's what's happening. Most of these kids are being born through casual sex, through guys that you guys know less than 6 months. All these kids out here are product of casual sex, most of them. I say 70-80% of them, casual sex, not in committed relationships. All right? So like the man said, the standard was get married, get a ring, get a committed commitment from a man, and he's probably going to stick around. All right? You know, that's just the way it is. All right? Besides, if I'm out here with some chick I met and I'm banging her within a month, I'm not going to have any kind of respect for that woman. Because if I hit it in 2 weeks, I know somebody else probably did it in 2 weeks. You know, I'm not gonna think highly of that woman. Sorry, I'm not. And most men think the same way.
Greg, let me reel you in for a second, Greg. Hold on.
Yes, sir. I know, I'm getting started. I'm sorry.
No, that's what it's about. We want this kind of debate. But just to interject my point, it almost seems as if both of y'all are coming from the same standpoint, just from two different sides. One saying the man, Greg, you're saying men want a certain type of woman, and our female caller is saying women also look for a certain type of man. So it's really not a combative debate. If you both just step back and look at it, you're kind of saying the same thing to each other. But we have another caller, so hold on, let's get to it.
Hello?
I'll let you live.
Hi, this is Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, I got a question for Greg, because I know that he said that he's been married twice. If you were married twice and if your first wife had a child with you while you guys were married, because it seems like that's the type of man that you are, and now you guys are divorced, so you basically left her out here for another man or another man to look at her with the child that she got to walk through the mall without a stroller with no man on her arm because now you guys are divorced. So going by your standards and what you're saying, these men are not going to look at her like she's a whore because she has a child by her husband that she's now divorced. So where's your standards when you chose this woman based upon your standards? She was pure, she was perfect, and she was good. But now you're now divorced, and now you have a second wife.
You want me to answer that?
I'm waiting.
Oh, for one thing, I don't put single mothers and divorced mothers in the same category. And I think most men don't either. I just separate them. And I had joint custody of my son, so not quite. I love
her. But how do you separate a woman that's in a mall walking with a child. You don't know if she's been divorced or if she's not. You basically labeled this woman because she's walking with a child, that she's a whore and she done gave up something. Most women, as far as with men, and this is not for all men, but I don't know any woman that's going to drop her drawers just because a man look at her. He probably talked her up out of them by lying, trying to get to her drawers. But the thing is, if a man can't correct to a woman, and said, I just want you and move on, a woman is not going to go for that.
Sure, it will.
I'll tell you.
I could have sex with a lot of women if I wanted to, and I'm married, and I tell them I'm married, they still sleep with you. They don't care.
And that goes for a woman can too, but they both need to have standards. But you can't always put it just on a woman because, like you said, it takes two people to have sex, and it takes two to have a baby. So the fact that a woman has a child, she had to have it by a man. You also made a comment like men are not dealing with women. Well, who are you dealing with? Other men? If you're not dealing with a woman, who are you dealing with? That's what you said before earlier.
I didn't say that.
Oh, we don't want them. We're not dealing with women. I thought that's what you said earlier.
I think he's misquoted. I didn't say that. Sorry.
I took your words. I didn't get them quoted correctly. I took them that way. Because when you said we don't deal with them, we don't talk to them, well, who are you talking to?
He was saying that what should we say to women, and I'm saying we should just turn our back on them.
Who would you turn your back to then if you turn your back on a woman?
We should just turn our back on single mothers. Just turn our back on
them. So your wife is now a single mother. Your first wife is now a single mother. So you're saying what?
She's not a single mother. Okay. She's divorced. And my kid's 19 years old. He's healthy in college.
But she's a mother of a child.
Yeah, but he's in college. Right. He's on his own. I mean divorced mother.
It's still
Greg, I'm trying to save you, buddy. I'm trying to save you, man. Hold on, man. Let me save you, Greg. All right. I don't think Greg is saying that. Well, I'm not gonna speak for Greg. I gotta go home. So I'm not gonna jump in that boat with you, Greg. But what I'm gonna say is this: that for Greg to say that you should turn your back on single mother, you know, you don't know that single mother's situation. You don't know her story. So for us to turn out, that could be a good one. You never know. The dad could have been deadbeat. You know, and you passing up an opportunity to meet the woman that you may be meant to be with, regardless of the fact that she has a child or not. So, I mean, you can fall in love with a single mother. It comes back to my homeboy Corey's comment where you have to get to know that person. You know, we shouldn't shun all single mothers. And then what? It's a lot of good women that are single mothers is what I'm trying to say. So I had to jump in. I'm trying to save Greg.
Yeah, Greg.
Caller was going in.
Greg, we was trying to save you a while ago, man. You knew the women was coming, man. We knew it. We was trying to save you, Greg.
It goes back to what I was trying to get you to see before. Yes, women have a level of accountability, responsibility, whatever, when it comes to their bodies, who they allow to get close to them, I think. But that does not totally alleviate your level of responsibility and accountability. If you walk down the street right now and Susie Q approach you, or you know Susie Q is looking, Susie Q can do whatever she want to do to get next to you, but because you know Susie Q's story, you gonna say, no, I'm good. I'm good on that. So why can't you take the same approach when it comes to Susie L, who you don't know? That's the question that I have for you. And I'm going to open the line back up to you, but we couldn't reel you back in. So go ahead and
say it. You ain't got to save me, man. My belief's a little unorthodox. I understand that. I just want to see brothers. Because I have a son, man. And I'm 48. I want my son to be able to get married one day and formulate his own family. I don't want my son to have an instant family that I see out here, kids with two or three kids by the time they're 25. I think it's a rarity to see a girl 25 and under with no kids. But I want my son to be able to have a wife, get married, have kids, and I don't want them to think this blended family stuff is the norm, because it's become the new norm now. Guys are getting married, women already have kids, and guys are buying into it. I don't want that to be normal. And I think we should start shunning this stuff, man. I think it's, 72% of our kids are born out of wedlock, and 80% of our kids are born in single-family homes. Now, that can't all be accidents, some dudes just leaving these women. Something else is going on, man. I think these women, maybe they don't want husbands, man. You have to factor that in. A lot of these women simply do not want husbands, man. You know, they just don't want a husband. We gotta factor that in at some point, man. You know?
That it goes back to that equality that you were talking about very earlier, where you know, women now, they don't feel like they need a man. I don't need a man.
They want a man. They don't want a husband. That's the difference. They want dick. They want a man. They don't want a husband. They don't want a man telling them what to do. That's the problem. That's what men don't seem to get. These women like men. They like having sex. They don't want a husband. They don't want to. I don't like the word submit, but they don't want to have a man tell them what to do. They resent that, man. And men can't seem to connect the dots. Huh? Say again.
Why are you afraid of that word submit?
Because that's what it is.
Don't be afraid of that word.
I'm not afraid of work submitting. I mean, I submit to my wife. She submits to me. Hell, marriage is give and take. Sometimes she wins. Sometimes I win. You know, that's the way it is. So.
Yeah. It seems, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to just be honest with you because that's the type of person I am, but it seems to me, Greg, that you have, there's a level, it seems, I could be wrong, but you hold a married woman at a different level than you hold a single woman. Like a married woman,
I do.
It sounds like a married woman. Yeah, it sounds like they get a little bit more respect from you than a single woman.
Well, no. Well, you know what? I grew up in a generation where married women were revered a bit more. You were a married woman. They got more respect in my generation. I don't know. I guess I grew up in that, huh? That's just the way it was back then. Married women, they always got more respect. Older women got more respect. Elderly women got the most respect. Then married women, and then single women, and then women with kids, and then prostitutes and hoes. That's the way it was, man. You know?
Prostitutes before hoes.
Huh?
You said prostitutes before hoes.
Prostitutes got more respect than the hoes.
That's just the way it was. You had elderly women, number one. You know, old women with the hats, they got the most respect. Married women, single women, women with kids, and hoes, and strippers, okay? That's just the way it was. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's always going to be. I didn't make the rules, bro. You know, women today want to be a hoe, and then they want to turn around and be respectable. They want to switch over. And men, my generation, aren't going to let them do it. You can't do it. You can't be a hoe, strip, mess with all these dudes, and then all of a sudden you want to be a wife. My generation is saying no, not happening.
Yeah, that's true too, Greg. But let me pose a question on that.
Yes, sir.
From what I'm understanding, you're saying we should respect a married woman more than
that's
we,
right.
we should respect a single woman,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
Because that's what you
yes, sir. You should. Yes, sir. Always.
So should,
always respect a married woman. Yes, sir.
So should women, on the other hand, respect married men over single men?
I don't know. That's a question for a woman, I guess. I don't know. Not for me to say.
Well, we got a call. Let's see. We got a call. It may be a woman, so she can enlighten us on that.
And before we get that, let me give you this, Greg. All married females are women.
Yeah.
Let's go down to the next call.
Go ahead, caller. State your name, and what's your question on your input? Caller?
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, go ahead, Carl.
You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you, Carl. Go ahead. State your name and your input.
What's good, Disco Man? This is Rick. I'm calling to give a shout out to Rope on you, man. I see y'all boys doing y'all thing, man.
We appreciate that, man. What's going on with you, man?
Huh?
I said we appreciate that, man.
Oh, nothing much, man. Up here in Virginia, boy. I see y'all Roboni boys doing y'all thing, man.
You know, we're trying to do a little talk. We're trying to enlighten it.
That's what's up, bro. Hey, listen, I'm proud of y'all boys, man, for real.
We appreciate that, Matt, man. We proud of you, too, man. Shoot, you know, I mean, you know where we come from, and you know what it's like, man. We on the other side now, so it's a good thing to be there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I feel you, you know what I'm saying? But, man, y'all keep doing y'all thing, man.
We appreciate that, Matt, man.
I ain't hear you, bro.
All right, I got us another caller. Matt, if you want to stay on, you can stay on. You got any input or anything?
Oh, no, nah, I was just listening to what Cub was just saying, man, you know. And you know, me, I'm about to be married, you know what I'm saying? And my girl got two kids already, you know what I'm saying? And I don't see nothing wrong with it because I was raised by stepdaddies, you know what I'm saying? My mama was a damn good woman. My mama was a damn good woman, you know what I'm saying? So I was raised by stepdaddies. So I don't really see no problem with it. Would a man want a woman with no kids and be able to start his own family? Yeah, but like he just said, it don't always work out like that. It's rare to find chicks without kids these days, and dudes too.
Yeah. Yep.
Mike, I had a question for you. Go on.
Yeah.
You love your woman?
Yeah.
You love a kid?
Yeah. Feel just like they're mine.
Where you going?
Do you think?
You doing what been asked of you? You accountable.
You
accountable.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
We got us another caller. Stay with us, Matt. Mac, you welcome to stay with us. And just listen in.
Okay.
We're gonna pick up this caller here. Go ahead, Cole. Go ahead and say something.
Hey, this is Milwaukee Mail again, man. I'm really tripping off Greg, man. I'm really, really. I don't know what planet he's from, but I'm going to keep it real. Matt just kept it 100, and I'm calling back to keep it 100, too. Man, my current wife has a child that's not mine. But like my dad, I love her like I gave birth to her. You know what I mean? So Matt got the game twisted, man. When we look for our lifelong partner, we look for, you know, is she trustworthy? Do she got a job? Can she bring something to the table? Do she love me? I mean, do she got my well-being in her, you know, in her best interest? You know, those sort of things, man. You know what I'm saying? As far as who she done had sex with before me, I think Greg got some issues, man, that stream way back in his past, man. I don't know what it is. Maybe he got some issues with his mom or something. Maybe his mama was a hooker or something. I don't know what his shit is. But it doesn't seem like he got some issues. It seems like he got issues with women, man. I'm just keeping it real, man. I don't know.
Hey, look, I'm not going to talk about this. The reason why I'm this way because I want to see the standards of black women, our women, raised. And I think the problem is that us men are lowering the standards of women by marrying women with a bunch of kids and all this stuff. We need to have women, black women, have higher standards. We need to quit marrying these women with kids. I can see if you have kids in your 40s and 50s. My second wife had a kid, but I married her when I was 40. I understand that. But
okay.
when the young guys in their 20s, 25, he shouldn't be dealing with a woman with kids. A young black man at 25, he shouldn't be marrying women with kids. He should be building his own families with his own kids, watching the umbilical cord getting cut, watching your kid walk for the first time, watching your kid ride a bike. Those are all things that fathers need to be doing, experience himself, okay?
I'm almost done.
And I think as men, I know it's painful, but if you got kids right now, I'm sure you don't want your kids to be 25 married a woman with two or three kids, okay? We have to start turning our back on these women right now to say this is not acceptable.
Man.
Not acceptable. Stop marrying them. Stop dating them. Stop screwing them. Leave them alone. Turn our backs on them. Okay, I'm sorry. We have to do it. We have to do it, man, for our next generation of young black men. Yeah.
I got a question, Greg. What should a 18-year-old young male, 20-year-old young male be doing there? They should be turning their back on them?
Yeah, he should be turning his back on him. He should be just turning his back on him. I mean, look, as far as sex, I get that. Work on them. Don't get them pregnant, but stop marrying these women. Stop taking them seriously. Leave them alone. We have to, man, because, look, we're at a critical stage right now where women think they can have kids and still get married. I mean, no other race thinks like that, but the Asian women don't think like that. Indian women don't think like that. Only black women think they can have two or three kids and get married. We have to put an end to this. As men, we have to put an end to it. Stop marrying these women. Stop dating them. Leave them alone, okay? Make them raise their standards, man. Make them raise their standards, all right?
You live in a bubble, Greg.
You are?
Exactly. Yeah, you do.
I don't live in a bubble.
Gotta be. Hey, let me ask you a question, though, Fred. Would you have, like, if a man told your mama he wasn't going to date her because she had y'all?
My mom was married before she had kids.
True enough, but if it was a different scenario, would you have, like, the man who told your mama, nah, I'm not going to fuck with you. I'm sorry, I'm not going to mess with you because she got kids?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't get into hypotheticals, bro. Sorry. I don't know where this is going.
It's a hypothetical world. You know what I'm saying? It's rare to find a woman without kids.
Because I tell you why, because we're marrying them. That's why they think they can have kids. I tell you what, if brothers quit messing with women with kids, I guarantee you that marriage. I bet the kids out of wedlock would plummet if dudes stop checking for these sisters with these kids. I bet these sisters will. You know what? They're like, you know what? These dudes ain't checking for women with kids. You know? I tell you what. Do you think a sister could go mess with a white boy if she had a bunch of kids? Huh? You think that white boy would take her seriously? Hell no, he wouldn't, man.
Yeah.
He would not, man.
I know a couple white
dudes that mess with you. You know what? These white boys have higher standards. These white boys, when you see a sister with a white boy, usually she looks good, she's in shape, and she ain't got no kids. But that white man, he's got standards, man. He ain't putting up with it. But I'm tired of brothers being the garbage man in the world, okay? We ain't garbage men, man. You know, we ain't got to put up with this nonsense, man.
I understand what I'm saying, bro. I want to do.
Let me interject the question to everyone. I mean, not just directed at Greg. Let me ask this. If we're allowing the blame to be solely towards the women saying that it's their fault because they're having the kids, they're not having the kids alone. So do the men...
Thank you. That's what I wanted to say because if you want these 18, 20-year-olds to start turning their back on them, then, you know, that stuff got to go way back, man, because they need to start going to school. They need to be educated. It ain't just about turning their back on something, because that'll create another problem. Because if they turn their back on them, and then they ain't trying to get no nookie, they're going to be trying to take some nookie. They're going to be trying to take some nookie from the good girl because she don't want to give it up. I mean, it's not a sexual thing, man. This stuff got to go back to the home, man. It's how you raise your kids. And still, if you raise your kids, okay, look for the good, you know, go through high school, y'all date, and then y'all go to college. You know, you want them to do the right thing, but Greg, seriously, does it always happen like that? No.
It doesn't. Hold on. I was just saying, it doesn't always work that way. But I tell you, man, the pendulum has swung too far on the other side. And we have to get some sort of balance, man. We can't have this 75%, you know, women having kids. That's unacceptable, man. We can't prosper as a race that way. We're not going to go forward, bro. We're going to implode. We're going to wither. We're going to die as a black race, man. It's a battle of, do you want the black race to continue on, or do you want it to die off? That's just basically what it is.
I need to see your ID, Greg.
My what?
No.
What? I'm talking real stuff, man. You guys know what I'm talking
about. That's not real, man. That's not reality.
That's not the world. It is
reality,
man. Okay, it's reality. I'm telling you, brothers, what the future is going to be, man. Do you want us to be like Brazil, or do you want us to be a black? I grew up in the 70s, man, where James Brown, and we're blacks. We were proud to be blacks, man. We took pride in our families and homes, and You know, all this stuff you see now is not, it's not normal, man. This is not the black race, what I'm seeing now. This is not us, bro. You guys are around in the 70s. You guys wouldn't even recognize this right now. You wouldn't even recognize this, bro.
So you saying
that no good black women with kids? I'm just saying. Yes or no? Are you saying that no good black women with kids?
Hold on, man. Hold on. We got to talk to Greg. We can't get to Greg. Greg, I'm going to unmute you when I need you to listen for. All right? You said just now that you grew up in the 70s, black was beautiful, and we took pride in our heritage and all this and all that, right? So what that would suggest to me is that you would be the last person that I would expect to have a statement like turn your back on a single parent, a single mom, a single black mom.
Check his ID.
That's not
you don't turn your back. Civil rights movement.
Yeah, that's next week. Y'all tune in next week. We're going to get to that next week. But this week, we're talking about the double. And Greg, I'm gonna have to say to you, man to man, like you've exemplified double standards to me today. Because for no other reason you say that a married woman holds a different place than a single woman. You have to realize that that married woman was once single. So you don't respect her as a woman until she becomes married. That makes no sense. Hold on before you comment on that, because we got another caller, and I want to get their comments. Go ahead, caller. State your name, question, comment. Go ahead, caller. You live. Go ahead. State your name, your question, your comment.
Oh, my name is Anthony Thomas. I just was calling in really to listen to the show today, but I heard the conversation was about women should have higher standards. And I guess, and me just joining, I hadn't heard all the comments, but I can understand to a certain extent why people would expect women to have high standards and hope that they would. But if they did, some fellas would be left in the cold without no females. But in the end, it all goes back to living a righteous life, you know, and living by God's word, and everything else will fall into place. That's all my comments. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's $1 million comment.
That's it, yeah. That's it.
Because like we said earlier, you went by that one standard set long, long, long time ago. None of this conversation that we're having right now is
I think it's important to point out, if we're going to lay blame on one side, we have to also see accountability on the other side. You know, I mean, this female, when it's a male impregnating. So our accountability as men with boys is still a
male. You
want to grab a cracker? That's what we need to look for in a woman.
Okay.
Anything else? And we need to set an example in our house as the head of our house and as a man, as of our daughter's the head.
Being that you said that,
hey, look, I mean, if a woman wants to have sex, she probably should use birth control, and then she's covered.
Listen, man. I work with kids right now. I work with teenagers right now. And all you can do is raise your kids to the best of your ability and hope they make the right decisions. Kids gonna make their own, when they get to the age, they gonna make their own decisions whether they know better or not. They're 17, 18, having sex unprotected. You know what the consequences are. If you raise your kids right, all you can do is hope they make the right decisions. You have nothing to do, when they leave your home, you have nothing to do with that no more.
You hit it on the head right there. It's the upbringing. You raise them right, they'll live right.
But even the one that was raised right still makes stupid decisions.
Hey, can I ask this question?
That's true.
Hey,
go ahead.
You guys said something about low status men. I don't think low status men, brothers, should be having kids anyway. You know, they probably shouldn't be breeding. Low standard brothers shouldn't be breeding. You know,
what,
you should get them out of.
What man thinks they're a low standard brother though?
Yeah. That's the question.
No black man walking this earth thinks he's a low standard man.
Why not?
But somebody else might think he's low standard. But if you ask him, he ain't gonna say he's low standard. He can make a baby, he's right, you can make one.
I'm pretty sure you can tell a low status man. Can you not determine one?
Okay, I can and you can, but ask the dude you're talking about, he thinks he's low standard. Ask him that. You can look at me right now and say, yeah, he's low standard, but come ask me, do I think I'm low standard?
I don't think you're a low standard dude. I'm just saying low standard dudes shouldn't be having kids, man. We should probably get him out of the gene pool.
Who's to say who a low standard brother is?
I would say a low standard dude is a dude that can't feed and house himself. Okay, let's just go there.
Okay?
He can't feed himself, he can't house himself. Let's just say he's a low standard dude, okay?
But you can't tell him that though. You're not gonna be able to tell him that though.
I don't have to tell it. I know he's low standard. He can't feed himself.
Yeah,
he can't house himself. He's low standard.
That's right. That's your opinion, Greg.
Yeah.
It's not an opinion. It's a fact. Look, men that can't feed them. Hold on. Men that can't feed themselves or house themselves or clothe themselves are low status men. That's just the way it is.
He could be disabled.
Or he could be low status. Huh? Come on, man. Low status.
Man.
I said low status.
Disabled is low standard?
That's his status, man. Low status, man.
Oh.
So you're telling me that a guy that can't feed himself, can't house himself, is not a low status man? You're telling me that? Is that what you're telling me?
Greg,
I'm not.
Hey.
But you can't feed low
status. we don't disagree with he's a low standard person. The thing is he ain't walking around saying, yeah, I'm low standard. He walking around saying, yeah, I'm the man.
Exactly.
Wait. Hold on. Matt and Melvin, hold on for a second. Hold on. Let me get to Greg for a second because I got a question for him that I want him to ask.
Greg. I said low status. 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 Not standards. Status.
Same thing.
Greg.
It's not the
same. Greg.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. You know, that's my question. You know.
Again?
Do you have a daughter?
No, I don't have a daughter.
To me.
Always wanted one, but never. Always wanted a daughter, could never get one.
Okay, so let's.
But I'll tell you what, if I did have a daughter and she had a couple kids out of wedlock by different men, I would blame her, and I would think that I failed her. I didn't raise her right. I'll put the onus on her. I would think she made a poor choice. I would put the ultimate blame on her, to be honest. That's where I would lay the blame at.
Okay, so I can only think.
Would you treat her any different, though?
I still love my daughter, but I would be disappointed in her. Yeah, I really would be.
So if she got married and had kids, and then her husband cheated and she divorced him, she would be a single black woman, wouldn't she?
She'd be divorced, mother.
But she's still single, though.
Well, I mean, you would divorce, not the same. I should be single. She still has a husband. Ex-husband is paying child support and is visiting his kids. She'd be divorced, mother. Look, man, you guys quit trying to equate single mothers and divorced mothers. They're not the same, okay? They're not the same. They're not the same. They're not the same. No, it's not.
If she don't have a man, she's single. Shit. If she divorced, it don't matter. She don't got nobody.
But the kids aren't single. The kids have a dad. The kids have a father. The kids have a dad.
Get the fuck out of here
with that, man. What?
If she wasn't married, the kids didn't have a dad.
You know everybody.
We have to keep it respectful for everybody because that's how we want the show to go and that's how we want it to roll. So we're gonna hopefully disagree to agree.
Agree to disagree.
That's how we want it to roll. But I mean, this is a good topic. I see it brought in a lot of callers. It brought in a lot of dialogue, a lot of feedback. I mean, as far as me as a host of this show, this is what I want. This is what I think we collectively all want as hosts of this show. We look forward to this each week. We welcome Greg back. We welcome Mac back. We welcome Mel back. We welcome Denise back. We welcome our female caller. And with Anthony Thomas, we welcome you back as well. Call back in next week. It's getting to that point where we have to wrap up our show. I'm going to give my co-host a chance to chime in their last thoughts on the show for the day. Corey, you first.
I mean, I agree with you. It was obviously a conversation, one that's needed. My thing is, for any participant, you have to approach the conversation from a standpoint of being open to learn something with an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
Greg feels the way he did.
That's okay.
That is perfectly okay Greg and his household. We don't have to agree with Greg.
We learned something from Greg.
We learned something, and there are a lot of people who feel the way that Greg feels.
So we welcome you.
The question that we now have to ask, and Greg, I know you can't respond to me, but call in next week. You can continue. Do you feel, and I'm pretty sure I know your answer, but do you feel that your mindset or your approach is rectifying the problem or a part of the problem? As we look at single, black, unmarried women. Because when I hear you say turn me back on, I don't know, it sends me down another path. But again, we can address that next week. I just want to thank everybody for calling in. I appreciate the conversation. And I'm passing on to something next.
I enjoyed this show. I really did. I enjoyed the interaction with our listeners. And I appreciate every last one of you that called in and stated your opinion. This is, like my brother said, this is what this show is about. This is what we want. This is the reason why Greg asked earlier, you know, what would we do to change? This is our method of trying to create change. This is what we've chosen as a group of black men. This is the path that we've chosen to try to do something to create change. All right. And this dialogue is needed. This dialogue must continue.
Yes. All right. We will continue this.
It can be uncomfortable at times. It can be uncomfortable at times. It can get heated, as we saw, you know, from both sides, even on the same side. We got men debating with each other over the same topic.
Yes.
You know, not just women calling in debating over the topic, but men also. You know, that to me right there is a good sign that we are at least on the right path of getting to change, because we're able to have this conversation and have this type of dialogue across the board. All right, so I enjoyed it. It was great. Love everybody. One time for Robonia. Balling out.
With that being said, lock your doors, but open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Dad out.
There's a fine line, but baby, I'm on it.
There's a fine line between love and hate. You see, can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. There's a fine line between love and hate. You see, can't wait too late, but baby. And baby, I want it. Can't worry
From the killing fields with no total. I don't think we in Kansas, no moto. Midwest or dirty south, clean dress or dirty mouth. Whether robbing preachers or killing poor righteous teachers, you a scared demon, shouldn't be allowed to spread semen. And your cowardly lies never define the jackals of Babel.
running with they pack, tail between your legs, throw the mane on your head, say the story, as you die and play your glory, cackling, helping the shackling of your brethren happen, just by rap, Libertad, Libertad, Libertad.
And I'm so glad we got it straight.